When Jesus died on the cross, nobody would have been able to guess that this movement that he started would have continued on. And certainly nobody would have guessed that after he died, his church would be established and would continue on just perpetually. Yet that's exactly what did happen. Christ built his church despite his death. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Brian covered this in his class on Wednesday. Jesus is in this period of retirement, trying to retire from the crowds. Verse 13, starting, says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was saying to his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been loosed in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven.'" There's a whole lot there, but I want to kind of hone in on some things that Jesus said there in verse 18. When he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," you probably know he was speaking of the foundational principle that Peter confessed. This truth that Jesus is the Christ. That's the rock upon which Jesus built his church. When he says he built his church, he's not talking about a church building. He's talking about the universal body of Christ, this universal group of believers that has continued on since that time, or since Acts 2 and onward. And when he talked about the gates of Hades, he's talking about death. And, you know, gates represents the idea of entering into something. So he's talking about entering into death. He's talking about his own death. Hades is the realm of the dead. And in Hades, there is paradise and there is punishment. When Jesus later died on the cross, he went to Hades. He went to the realm of the dead. He went to paradise, of course. And he was not abandoned to Hades, as Peter talked about in Acts 2, quoting from Psalm 16. But Jesus raised from the dead. And then he established his church after his resurrection, after his ascension into heaven. And that's what we're really going to dive deep on this morning. I think this is going to be very encouraging for us. And it's going to help us to focus our minds this morning when we take the Lord's Supper. Christ built his church despite his death. You know, many times movements die after the leader of that movement dies. And I had to ask Jason to help me with some illustrations. Jason's always got these killer illustrations that he gives me after my sermons are over. And I'm like, man, I should have talked to you before I got up there. So I contacted him, a few days ago, and asked him if he could help me think of any examples of, like, historical characters, you know, famous people that started some movement, and then after they died, that movement just crumbled, fell apart. And he thought of several. One is Attila the Hun. That's one I wouldn't have thought of. This powerful warlord and leader of this nomadic tribe, the Huns, and a couple of other nomadic tribes that were joined in there in the 400s. And they conquered much of Eastern Rome and Western Rome, and just were this huge threat and this massive power. After he died in battle, pretty much what happened is his kingdom just fell apart. It just completely disintegrated very quickly. And that's sort of what happened with Alexander the Great, even. You know, after he established this great Grecian empire, after he died, the kingdom was split into four parts, and over the next few decades, it didn't happen as quickly as it did with Attila the Hun's following, but it did fall apart. And we could also see this in the world of religion. Another example that Jason helped me with is David Koresh. Some of y'all may remember him. He was the leader of this religious group that branched off of the Adventist movement, Adventist church, that they kind of disavowed. But it was called the Branch Davidians. And it was like in the late 1980s, early 1990s, that this man who had changed his name to David Koresh was really the leader of that group. And when their complex outside of Waco was, you know, attacked, he was killed. And after that, the Branch Davidians pretty much faded away. I mean, there's virtually nothing left of that today. And this is something that it's a pattern that you see over and over. It's talked about in the Bible, actually, this kind of thing in Acts chapter 5. So let's flip over there to Acts chapter 5. I love this chapter. This is where, a little bit into the chapter, the apostles are arrested. Because they're preaching in the temple. The Jewish leaders don't like that, so they put them in public jail. And in the night, they are miraculously released by an angel. And they go right back to the temple and start preaching again. So in the morning, the Jewish leaders gather together to bring the apostles before them, but they're not in jail. Where are they? They're in the temple, preaching. So they kind of sheepishly send to bring them without violence. And the high priest says, "We told you to stop speaking in the name of this Jesus." And Peter said, "We must obey God rather than men, and we're not going to stop talking about this Jesus." And starting in verse 33, I want to read, it says, "But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to the men of Israel, 'Take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So in this present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may be found fighting against God.'" So he gives a couple of examples that they knew of, this man named Theudas and this other man named Judas of Galilee. And just the same thing I've been telling you about. They started this movement. They had all these followers. They died. Their followers scattered, and the movement just completely fell apart. But that's not what happened with the movement that Jesus started. And that's because it was of God. Now, Jesus is, I keep calling it a movement. It almost fell apart. Even before he died, when he was just arrested, his 12 apostles that he had been personally mentoring, they fled like scared little children. Even his three closest, Peter, James, and John, the three closest of anyone on earth to Jesus, they fled. Peter, the one who vehemently denied that he would ever forsake the Lord. He said, "I will die with you." Yeah, he denied the Lord three times that very night when Jesus was arrested. And when Jesus died on the cross, they were crushed. They were devastated. They were totally without hope. If it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus, we would have never heard of this thing called Christianity. Because it would have died out. It would have fizzled. It would be a blip on the radar in the books of history. But that's not what happened. Because he did rise from the dead. And he appeared to many witnesses, including his apostles. And Christ built his church despite his death. I want us to turn to Acts 2. You may have heard of the events of Acts 2. This is the day of Pentecost. Now, I want us just to kind of wrap our heads around something. Okay. The church When Jesus died, the church was not yet established. In a way, his movement had not even yet begun when he died. And I'm going to get back to that in a minute, but I want you to hold on to that. So here in Acts chapter 2, this is where millions of Jews have come to Jerusalem for this feast called Pentecost. It's 50 days after Passover, so about 50 days after Jesus had died on the cross. And suddenly they hear this sound. It sounds like a tornado. It's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the sound was the Holy Spirit falling upon the apostles. And suddenly the apostles start speaking in languages that they had never learned. These were country bumpkins from Galilee, right? As we say in Alabama, and I hope this term's not offensive to anybody, they were just kind of rednecks. I'm sorry. They were just normal kind of guys. They weren't supposed to talk in multiple languages, right? People where I'm from in North Alabama, they don't usually talk in multiple languages. Unless maybe it's English and maybe Spanish, possibly, right? But these guys from Galilee, they knew various different languages of all these people that had gathered from all over the nations to come to Jerusalem. And the people that heard this were saying, well, aren't these men from Galilee? How do they know all these languages? Well, it was miraculous. It was the Spirit working in them. And so in verse 12, it says, and they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? And then the next verse says, some others were saying, those apostles, they're just drunk. So Peter gets up to answer these questions. Primarily, what does this mean? He gets up and he says, now listen, we're not drunk, but what you see happening here is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit as was prophesied by Joel. And then he said, you people killed Jesus the Nazarene, but God raised him from the dead. And we apostles are eyewitnesses of the resurrected Lord. And then he answers the question that they asked. What does this mean? Is what they had asked. He answers that in Acts 2 in verse 33. Therefore, he said, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. He says, here's what's going on. You want to know what this means? This Jesus that you killed is still alive. He's in heaven. And from heaven, he has poured forth this Holy Spirit. He's responsible for everything you see happening here. And he says in a few verses later in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. They felt guilty, cut to the heart. They said, what shall we do? He said, I'll tell you what you should do. You need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for forgiveness of your sins. And in verse 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. That is the beginning of the church of Christ. That was the beginning of Christ's church. And a few verses later, verse 47, in the middle of that verse, starting about halfway down, it says, and the Lord was adding to their number, your version may say, to the church, day by day, those who are being saved. Christ built his church despite his death. It's amazing. He built his church after his death. You see, it wasn't that he built his church while he was still alive, and then it just managed to keep on going after he died. That would be impressive enough. There have been men, many men and women throughout history that have started a movement and then they died and the movement managed to continue on. Look at Steve Jobs and Apple. And it's continued to grow. But Jesus' situation was very unique because he didn't establish the church before he died. In fact, he couldn't establish the church before he died because he had to establish his covenant first. And his covenant couldn't go into effect until he died. You can't have a church without a covenant for the people that are in the church to have the covenant relationship with God. And the covenant couldn't be established without the blood of Christ. So he had to die in order for his church to be established. Even after Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected and appeared to his apostles, even after that, this whole movement of Christ still wasn't out of the woods. before Acts chapter 2. It's amazing to me when you read in Acts chapter 1 about, you know, Jesus' mother and his brothers and the apostles and other followers gathering together. You know how many there were that were left of the followers of Jesus at that point between his ascension and the establishment of the church? 120. That's it. That's all we're told about anyway. Think about that. After all the miracles of Jesus, during the great Galilean ministry, crowds thronging him such that he couldn't even teach them standing on the land. He had to get out into a boat so they could see him, such that he could hardly walk anywhere without people jostling him. He couldn't retire to any private location without thousands of people finding him and begging him to help them. Even after all of that, after all of his miracles and all of his teachings and all that he did, even after his resurrection, he had 120 followers, about the number that we have maybe right now in this building. That's it. This movement wasn't going anywhere unless Acts 2 happened and the church was established. Christ built his church despite his death. So this morning, as we take the Lord's Supper, I simply want us to be thankful and amazed that the gates of Hades did not prevail against Jesus to prevent him. It did not prevail against his efforts to build his church. And if we are found in Christ Jesus, then the gates of Hades for us, which is our own deaths, will not prevail against our hope of everlasting life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.